Good morning. I'm just looking to see if there's any new faces. No, just the same old wrinkle. Anyway. So we're going to be looking at, We're looking at Philippians chapter 4, 10 to 14. If I can find it, here we go. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 14. Four verses that pack a punch. Paul was writing to the Philippians from a jail cell. And obviously Paul doesn't know what's going to happen to him. So he writes this letter to the Philippians. How grateful I am and how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but for a while you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, with plenty or little. For I can do everything with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength I need. But even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. When I looked at this a few weeks ago, I kind of could see two sermons in these four verses. So I'm going to kind of touch on Paul's letter to the Philippians, but also want to look at obedience this morning. Obedience, because it's in there. And I believe that God is calling us back to obedience in a world that's so disobedient. We have to be the shining light on this earth and be obedient to God. Do we believe that statement this morning, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Do we believe that? If you do, fantastic. Perhaps there's someone here that's saying, yeah, I believe that too. See, my life is absolutely bang on and everything's rosy and God's right beside me and my prayers are ascending heaven. Fantastic. But actually on my low days, I kind of don't feel that. I don't feel God close to me. I don't feel like I'm present with God. My prayers are hitting off the ceiling and my life is in ruins. Perhaps it's difficult to believe that I can do all things through Christ when we feel like that. Perhaps there's people sitting this morning that say, no, I don't believe that. I just don't believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'd like to, but I just can't. There are many great Bible characters in this Bible that believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to look first at Moses in Exodus 3. Moses sees a fire on the mountaintop and he goes up to investigate. It was a burning bush, but it wasn't on fire. It was on fire, but it wasn't burning. And God is calling Moses to go back to Egypt, where he ran away from, to go back to Egypt and free his people. 6 million people he wanted to free. What a task that was God gave him. It's a bit like someone sitting here this morning and God speaks to them and go, I want you, David, to go back to Pakistan and lead the people away from the floods. And I want you to give them a new land and I want you to build new houses. What a task. You know how Moses responded? He said to me, no, me, Lord. Who am I to go before Pharaoh? Me? Are you having a laugh? Who am I to go before? They'll not believe me if I do go. They'll just not believe me, Lord. I can't speak, said Moses. I stutter and I stammer and I'm clumsy with words. And God obviously spoke to Moses. And Moses agreed to go. When the Lord is calling us to do something, Pamela has mentioned doing something within the fellowship or doing something outside, how do we respond? Oh no, Lord, no me. No me, Lord. No, I'm sorry, I can't do that. No, it's not my bag. I can't do it. I know who you could ask, Lord. But actually say to God, I know who you could ask. No, Lord, I'm hopeless. But with Christ in our hearts, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We just can't disobey the Lord. Moses went back to Egypt with the strength of the Lord. There he was protesting 1 minute. No me, Lord. I can't do this. You perhaps need to ask someone else. I've not got the words. And from that moment when Moses agreed to go, something happened. Moses would kind of transform from the stuttering, stammering speech impediment that he had to this strong. The next minute we know he's in front of Pharaoh saying, "Let my people go." Doesn't sound like the fearful Moses that was on that mountainside that morning or afternoon. "Let my people go," Pharaoh. Bold, courageous, clear and precise with his language. And that's what God can do for us when we do obey God. As I say, I believe God is calling us back to a life of obedience. You never hear that word very much nowadays, obedience. We don't talk about it. It's a bit like revival. We mentioned it in the cell group the other night. We don't speak about revival anymore. Where did that go? We don't pray about revival. We don't talk about obedience. We don't pray about obedience. Why is that? It's relevant today as it was in Moses' time. I want to include Ananias in this. Jesus told Ananias to go and pray for Saul. And it happens to be in Street, God told him. God had GPS before we did. So, what was Ananias' response? "Oh, you're having a laugh, Lord. Are you not? Do you know who this man is?" Almost can hear God saying, "Yeah, I made him. I knew him before he was in the womb. Do you know who this man is? This man is the chief persecutor of our brothers and sisters. He's authorized by the high priest to arrest every believer in Damascus." Ananias was putting up a good fight too, wasn't he? We shouldn't react like that when God asks us to do something. We should be obedient. But we know Ananias went to pray for Saul. And we know what happened then. Saul became Paul. Paul became one of the greatest writers of the New Testament and one of the greatest missionaries that the world has known. Ananias did not want to go, but God had his way in the end. And Ananias realized he could do all things through Christ to strengthen us. It's a bit like getting a phone call for the prison warden and there's a notorious murderer and a hater of Christians and he asks you to go and pray for him. What would our response be? I want to look at Joshua and Caleb, 12 spies who went across to the land of Canaan. 12 of them came back. 10 didn't want to go back because they said there were giants in that country. Giants, we can't go back there. Moses will get slaughtered. We'll get killed. We'll get murdered. We have no chance. But Joshua and Caleb knew that they could do all things through Christ who strengthens them. And Joshua and Caleb went back into the land and defeated. And they got the land for themselves. And Caleb inherited the land. All things are possible with God. There's a banner that goes round about, I don't know, I've been watching the World Cup football. And there's these flashing lights go round about the stadium. It says, "Impossible is nothing." Yeah, you seen it, Margaret? But all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Don't ever say, "Who, me?" Because you are a precious jewel in God's eyes. And if he's asking you to do something, just obey. Just say, "Yes, Lord." You know, talk about these giants. There's also David and Goliath, of course, the famous Goliath. And all the mighty warriors of that time. Goliath put out a request, "I'll fight one-to-one with anybody. And if I win, I get your land. If you win, you keep your land." And remember, the Israeli army, there was mighty warriors in that army. Mighty warriors. Maybe giants herself at 6'2". But of course, Goliath was 9'9". And they says, "No, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I'm not going to get defeated with the giant." And this wee boy comes forward. He was roughly about 13 to 15 year old. And he was 5 feet tall. And Goliath's away up there. He says, "I'll do it. I can do that, Lord." And he stepped forward. And we know what happened. And the pebble that he had in his sling, if it hit any other part of Goliath's body, it would have pinged off with the amount of armor that Goliath had on. He had to hit Goliath right in the center of his forehead, right between the eyes, as they say. God's very accurate at answering prayer. David put the pebble in, and the strength of God was in his arm, and he threw that pebble and hit Goliath right in the head. Stunned, and he fell. And we know that David killed Goliath. All things are possible with God. All things are possible with God for you. Not just these Bible characters that we read about in the scripture. All things are possible for you. But sometimes we don't believe that. Sometimes we say, no, I know who I can ask to do that. We deflect from ourselves. If God is speaking to our hearts, we easily deflect that request. No, I'll ask Sheena Conroy. I'll ask Frank McSherry. I'm not doing it. We shouldn't really do that. Talking about giants, what about the giants in your own life? Are we defeated like the Israeli army when Goliath was requesting a one-to-one fight? Are we defeated before we start? The loss of a job, and certainly in today's day, not enough money to pay bills. How do we react to such giants in our life? As I say, are we defeated before we start? Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And this is what Paul was writing to the Philippians. It doesn't matter what situation I'm ever in, whether I'm in a jail cell, whether I'm getting beat up, whether I've no money, whether I've no place to lay my head. Paul was saying that he's content because Christ strengthens him to be content in any situation. And it's a message for us too. Whatever situation we're in, that we find ourselves in, that's concerning, that's troubling, that's worrying, how I'm going to do this, how I'm going to do that. Remember the text, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God will come down from heaven and sit beside you when you're going through these troubles. It's not just for the great people in this Bible. This is for you and me as individuals and collectively as a church. We have to let go of our situation. We have to hand it over to God. Why is God there? Why are we saying we're Christians if we don't take things to God? It doesn't make sense when we do that. Let me tell you a story about letting go. I think possibly Sheena Conroy said this before, maybe Kevin, I'm not sure. There were some hunters who were told to go into the jungle to capture some monkeys to take back to the zoos. But try as they might, they couldn't catch the monkeys. They were too wily, they were too clever, they were too tricky. So the hunters came up with a plan. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll build a cage with horizontal bars, and they can get their hands in, and we'll put some fruit and everything in it, and then we'll go up and catch them. So the monkeys came down, saw the fruit and nuts in the cage, put their hands through the cage, grabbed a handful, and when they went to get their hand out, they couldn't, because they'd now made a fist. If they could get out that way, but they couldn't get out that way. And try as they might, they struggled and they strived to get this fist out of that cage. All they had to do was let go. But they held on to the fruit and the nuts until the hunters came and caught them and took them back to zoos. And that analogy is a bit like us. We can hold things close without letting go. We have to let go and let God. In any situation, any and every situation that we may find ourselves in. Let's go back to obedience. If we look at Moses, Ananias, Caleb, and David, they were all part of God's greater plan. You see, we may never know the outcome when God speaks to our hearts and tells us to speak to somebody in the post office or the YT club. We may never know what the overall plan is for that person, that God is going to do with that person. Some occasions you do find out, but mostly you don't. You plant the seed, the person goes, and God works the miracle within that person. When God speaks to our heart, with that still small voice, that you know it's of God, we have to respond. Does anyone know the name of Albert McMacken? Albert McMacken? No? Well, look, can I tell you, he worked on the Graham farm, Billy Graham's farm. And God spoke to Mr. McMacken and said, go and speak to Billy. Billy Graham was about 16 years old at this time. Go and speak to Billy about me. And he did. And he spoke to Billy a few times. Now, it happened to be that there was a revival, talking about revival, There was a revival in the city where Billy Graham was. And the evangelist for that revival was a name called Mordecai Ham. And Billy went along one night. Yeah, this is interesting. He went back the second night. And gave his heart on the third night. And of course, we don't know what happened to Billy Graham after that. Yes, we do. Billy preached to over 100 million people. All because of Albert McMacken. All because Albert McMacken obeyed God's voice. He didn't say, I'm not doing that, Lord, who me? I'm not doing that. I'm not worthy. Ask someone else. No. Albert McMacken went to Billy Graham and spoke to him. And all because of that man, all because of you, all because of us as individuals, when we're speaking to somebody, we don't know what God's plan is for that person, what God's greater plan is for that person. If it wasn't for Albert McMacken, we may never have heard of Billy Graham's preaching. But that's how vital it is that we respond to God, God's voice, and we respond in a positive way. We don't put God never puts us down. You see, I'm not picking you because you're not worthy. I'm not picking you because you're not able. God picks us as individual, and he especially picks you when he's talking to your heart to go and, whether it be a word in someone's ear about the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether it's an action. Pamela was saying earlier on about we need Sunday school workers, we need people in the evangelism group, we need this. If God is speaking to your hearts this morning, don't think, oh, I'm no good at that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, we can't do it, but we can't do it without God. But if we obey God, God will give us his strength to carry out an action. It's important. The word obey, obedience, is found in Scripture 170 times. It's in 170 verses within Scripture. So that's how important it is to God that he wants obedient children to follow him. Doesn't want disobedient people. He doesn't want people just, I'm going along to church today. Yeah, it's nothing better today than a Sunday morning. He's looking for committed people. When we obey God's voice, it's almost like a form of music, harmony. It's almost like a time for worship when we are obeying God's voice. Genesis chapter 27 verse 8 says, now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. When God is speaking to us, we have to obey his voice. Deuteronomy 13:4 said, you shall walk after the Lord and keep my commandments and obey. We need to obey the loving God. We need to obey his voice. Deuteronomy 38, and you shall return and obey my voice of the Lord and keep all my commandments. We need to obey God's voice in our life. And I believe God is calling us back to obedience in a disobedient world. We need to shine for God. If God's asking us to do something, we do it. We obey that voice. And it doesn't matter what situation you're in. If God's asking you to do it, he will give you the strength. Every morning when you wake up, you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ. It doesn't mean that you can break iron bars open or you can become a multi-millionaire. It doesn't mean that. And a lot of people think that's what it means. You see, in America, they have American football. They have T-shirts. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But they're looking for strength to win games. This is more important than that. We need to get back to obeying God's voice. I'm going to finish in a minute. There are two kinds of people in the world. There's two kinds of people in the church over Scotland. There's the I can people, and there's the I can't people. There's the I can people who say, yeah, Lord, I can do that. Give me your strength. Or there's the people, as I've mentioned, saying, oh, I can't do that. I'm not doing it, Lord. I can't do it. I'm not having it. Which one of the people are we this morning? Are we an I can person for God? Or are we the one that protested too much? No, me, Lord. I can't do it. I'm not. What is that an act of? a lack of trust or faith in God. For me saying, no, I can't do that, Lord. I was saying to God, I don't trust you enough to give me your strength. I don't trust you. I don't have enough faith in you. Because I don't know if you'll be there for me or no. Of course he's going to be there for you. Of course he's going to be there for you. Obey God's voice and Christ will strengthen you to do all things. Thank you. I'm going to just, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you do speak to our hearts. And you request us, Lord, to speak to people or to do an action, whether it be a Sunday school, whatever the case may be, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're always there. And Lord, you do impart your strength to us so that we can achieve all things. We serve an amazing God. Amazing God. God never gets it wrong. So why should we be frightened of obeying his voice? God is the God of the possible, God of the impossible. If we look through scripture, we can see, Father, where you have been with all the great people in the Bible. But Lord, we are in 2022. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you speak to our hearts in a clear voice. And help us to respond, Lord, in the positive. Help us to respond, I can do that, Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.